Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. This is a Hlangana car.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 51. On today's show, Lorch is back. Chiefs could be without Nurkovic, and will Pirates cope without Zinbauer? Whether you're listening to us on Soccer Laduma, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Mahe King's 96.7 FM's Game Time, a warm welcome to the show. I'm not alone in the studio. There is one among us who always prefers to use his hands. It's Sean Roberts. How are you doing, sir?
Simon, I'm great. Thank you, my friend. Good to be back.
How's the faraway land?
Beautiful.
Flowing with milk and honey?
Beautiful, as usual. Depends what your definition of milk and honey is, Simon. But yes.
Joining him is a man so skilled with his feet, an award had to be created just so that it could be bestowed upon him. It's Teko Modise. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you, Simon.
Simon.
How are you?
I'm very well. You enjoying the Gauteng?
Yep. Honestly, I am.
Very, very good.
I'm even gaining weight, Chief.
Oh, I don't think that's something you should admit. I don't know. Well, anyway, let's not muck around anymore. I believe that's Sean's job. What have you got for us, sir?
Joke of the day. This is a goodie. I wanted to go on a diet, but I feel like I have way too much on my plate right now. Oh, man, it's beautiful. I don't think Teko got this.
No, I didn't get it.
Of course not. Of course not. Pirates against Chiefs. We didn't see that coming, did we?
Nope. No, sir.
Again, Chiefs had their opportunities. Billiard should have put it away. Castro had a beautiful opportunity to get his first goal of the season. I don't think Chiefs were outplayed. I really don't. I just think Pirates took their chances. Their few chances they had, and they were bloody good chances, don't get me wrong. They took them, and they took them very, very well. I know there's been a lot of in the media about Gavin Hunt this week, ex-players going mad, and there's too many youngsters playing, and blah, blah, blah. Benedict Vilakazi saying you're throwing players under the bus, you're going to kill their careers. I mean, for me, it's a load of rubbish. What do you think of the game?
First of all, I think Kaizer Chiefs started very, very well. Mm-hmm. And if they scored with the chances that they had, the game would have been different for them or for Orlando Pirates. And for me, because I was doing the game, I looked at it like, I think it was a team, those both teams, I think they were challenging each other in a similar fashion, like in counterattacks.
Yeah.
When Orlando Pirates was enjoying on the Chiefs' right-hand side,
yeah,
especially if Chiefs lost the ball, they would use the left-hand side to actually try and attack.
That's where their first goal came, I think.
Yeah. And with Orlando Pirates, with those Kaizer Chiefs, they did the same on the right-hand side of Orlando Pirates, especially where Nyawuza was. They tried to find space behind Nyawuza, and they did a couple of times.
Yeah.
Where Kama went 1v1, he went to the dribble.
Yeah.
And even when Castro had that opportunity from the right hand side of Orlando Pirates, they found joy there.
Yeah.
But the problem was once Orlando Pirates punished them the game started changing.
Yeah.
You know, and once the game started changing, now it looks like Orlando Pirates is dominating. For a person that never watched the game, you actually say, because of the scoreline, you say Orlando Pirates was dominating. But in the true sense, I think the game was equally balanced. It could have went either way. Mm-hmm. And with all those two clear chances that Kaizer Chiefs had in the first half, if those goals, those balls were scored, maybe Chiefs would be the one that had three goals for them. But then again, we shouldn't. For me, it's like I hate when people, especially guys that play the game, when we try to justify things. Mm-hmm. Instead of speaking things the way they are. Look, Kaizer Chiefs they can't sign players. We know that. Let's move away from that.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you're the Kaizer Chiefs coach. You are there training. You see all these boys doing what they're supposed to do. And you're trying to use the best that you can.
Yeah.
Right? And when things are not working out, people are trying to create excuses.
Sure.
Like this thing of throwing players under the bus. No. Look, there's no great opportunity to introduce a player. And the derby is not the same derby that it was 8-10 years ago.
Right.
The most fortunate, the most luckiest people actually that played, they're lucky because they played a derby when there was no fans, especially the younger ones, because there was no pressure at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? But it's just that with footballers, especially ex-footballers, I think we need to realize, I don't know how to put it. You just said I hate it when footballers speak like people that never play the game.
Yeah.
Because
there's too many of them.
Yeah, there's too many. But it's just also in South Africa, when you kick the ball, you're a legend, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So now all those legends are saying there's too many young players. They're destroying the players' careers. They're throwing them under the bus. The truth of the matter is, Sean, when are they going to give these youngsters the chance?
That's what I'm saying. So let's go back to it. So Hunt started Njabulo Blom, in Global. He then introduced Lebogang Lesako. The 17-year-old Coletso Sefama and Happy Mashiani came on as second half substitutes. If I think it's amazing. I think it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant that you've got a coach that's got this sort of balls to introduce players at that sort of game.
Of course. But then again, as a coach, I guess when you are Gavin Hunt or a big coach like him, you're expecting such criticism, especially when things are not going your way.
Sure.
But for me is, we've been saying Chiefs needs to have new players within the team. Chiefs need to have continuity. Chiefs need to have youngsters within the team. Even the players that played for Kaizer Chiefs, they said, you know, the last time Kaizer Chiefs produced young players was in such and such a year. Now that those players are being introduced, the same people that say that they're coming back again and criticize.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is it that you want?
Exactly.
Because the truth of the matter is, yes, Gavin Hunt have an opportunity to go back and do it and use the guys that are tried and tested.
Yeah.
But then with the tried and tested, how many years those tried and tested haven't achieved anything?
Correct.
So when you, it's just that I think people sometimes they're making their comments based on how emotional they are. They're not looking at the facts.
Yeah.
For me, Gavin Hunt has the toughest job this season I don't think there's a coach in the PSL right now that is more under pressure than Gavin Hunt.
Sure.
Merely because you go into a team that hasn't won, you go into a team that is still nursing their feelings because they lost the league the way they did, and they still can't sign players.
Yeah.
There's too many emotions that you need to deal with, and yet again, you're expecting your senior players to come on board to show, you know, to get out of that emotional space they're in, to start playing and move on.
Yeah.
And this is a new season and seize the new opportunities. And when that is not happening, what do you do as a coach? You know, you have to look at, okay, let me look at the youngsters. He's showing me a training that is ready.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to actually see whether the player is ready or not is by putting him in the game.
Yeah.
South Africans, we always complain about we're not giving youngsters enough chance. When the youngsters have been given a chance, we're complaining. We only want to see the youngsters playing in the smaller teams, but in the big teams, we don't want to see them. And we forget that us as well, the players that played, we were once youngsters. And we were given an opportunity to play. And we because the characters are different, yes, some take longer to adapt and be great. Some just click at a go. But how, as a coach, would you know? By not giving them a chance.
That's the thing. If you are a Kaizer Chiefs faithful, if you're a die-hard Kaizer Chiefs fan, if you have a little bit of patience, and whatever that patience may be, it might be half a season, it might be a season, it might be a season and a half, but if you give Gavin Hunt that patience, Kaizer Chiefs will be the future of SA football. I really believe that, with the development guys coming through.
Of course. But Sean, it will be easier if the team was, you know, having trophies for
sure.
Whatever the case may be. Yeah, things will be easy. People will be accepting that much more easier.
Mm.
But yet again is people, I understand people, fans especially, they're tired of giving this team an opportunity, giving them a chance,
yeah.
You know, supporting them, what else, they're getting disappointed all the time.
Mm.
But the truth of the matter is, at some point, someone needs to step in and change the whole structure. And now the structure has been changed by default because they can't sign players. They need to use what they have. And now, maybe, like you're saying, if given a chance, which we all know, South Africa, we normally don't do that. If being given a chance, he might not win anything this year.
Yeah.
Right? But he might be the team that dominates the next 5-6 years.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like I said, like even when Sundowns before started dominating, people need to remember what Sundowns did. Peter came in and signed 13 players, different players. We struggled to command a regular lineup. We struggled as well that we were long there at Sundowns. But once everything started clicking, we started dominating for years. We won everything for years. But now you need to understand that that's a process that needs to go through, and people need to trust the process. And I don't think people that are or fans of Kaizer Chiefs or legends that are criticizing the team, I don't think they want to trust the process. I think they're so desperate that they want things to work out immediately because they compare themselves with other teams, and not understanding that the reason why they shouldn't compare themselves with other teams, other teams have more advantages than them. They could sign players. And even when Kaizer Chiefs had an opportunity to sign players, they never actually signed good players.
Yeah.
So those are the results of what happened 2-5 years ago when they didn't have players that will continue where the Shabas left off, where the Yeye left off.
Yeah.
So now you still want to rely on coming back or with the senior guys, but also you need the youngsters actually to be taught and to understand what the team is about and to get used to playing in those big games so that whenever, you know, when they start clicking as youngsters, they grow together to become a formidable team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, let's take nothing away from Pirates. I mean, it was a game, I believe, based on individual mistakes from Chiefs. But Lorch, great goal. Pule, phenomenal goal. But to be allowed to turn in the 18-yard area like that is criminal. But Lorch's finish was proper, wasn't it?
No. The finish was proper. But you could see the way the goal came.
Mm.
Look, it's a corner kick. You know, considering a goal from a corner kick is suicide, dude.
Yeah.
From a set, you know, like it's a corner kick, the ball cleared out, pressure on the ball, the ball tried to control the ball, fell on Horto pass out, then becomes a goal.
Yeah.
It's something that they've trained, you could see that. But yet, you look at Orlando Pirates before that game, with everybody that played, I think the only person that maybe they haven't played this season for Orlando Pirates was Monare on the day.
Yeah.
And I think he was the difference in the midfield, because I've always said that Orlando Pirates are struggling in the midfield because they normally don't know who to use Ben Mutuari with. And and when Monare stepped in there, his experience, he played like he's been playing in that team. And what I like about him is he's not falling onto the trap of the new players that are coming into Orlando Pirates. Because new players that are coming to the plan part, they want to be fan favorites. Monara played his game. He dominated the midfield. No fancy things. Dominate the midfield. Give other guys to shine. Yes, we might speak about Lodge. We might speak about Pule. We might speak about Lepasa, who had a great game. But I believe that Ben Mutuari had also a good game because the responsibilities were shared between him and Ben and Taban Munari. And Taban Munari is actually good in starting the ball from the back. Orlando Pirates has been struggled. They struggled with Stellies.
Yeah.
They struggled with Amazulu whenever they have a team that presses them. But Kaizer Chiefs was pressing them, but Taban Munari was there to start the ball from the back. And once they bypassed the Kama and the Castros, it became easier for them.
Sure.
I think they've always needed that player. And now that they have it, it's up to them how they use Taban Munari there.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly fitted in, hasn't he? Similar to sort of Wade Yusta. They just come in and you think they've been playing there for 2 or 3 seasons already. So, impressed with Pirates for sure. Which brings us to the next topic. Obviously, Joseph Zimbauer's son was involved in a horrific car accident, I believe. And he's flown back to Germany, I think it is now. And we send him all the love and light possible from us. But in terms of that, we don't know how long he's gone for. Obviously, we don't expect him back anytime soon. How will Pirates cope without him?
I think it will be difficult. I think what would help right now, because they got good results against Kaizer Chiefs.
Yeah.
But I think the difficulty is someone stepping in and being looked at as the guy that makes decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Orlando Pirates having so many big players, so many players with personalities, if they can't accept whoever that's coming in, whether it's David's becoming in charge until the Zimbabwe story finishes, it's up to them, because at the end of the day, they're the guys that are supposed to go onto the pitch and make it work. But also, the challenge will be if the coach now, would he start doing his own thing, or would he continue what the team has been doing, because sometimes I've seen it in South African football where the coach and the assistant coach do things together. They believe in the system, they believe in the players, they believe in what they're doing. And once the coach is not there, then the assistant coach is trying to do different things.
Yeah.
And that shows the belief is actually fake, because of now the coach is not there. Now you're trying to do what you want to do. So yeah. I think it's important that a lot of players continue the way they've been doing, especially from Kaizer Chiefs game. They need to continue from there, build confidence from there,
yeah.
and be trying to be consistent, because there's no point in winning the game 3-0 and then you go in and play, going into Bloemfontein Celtic game, and then you become complacent, so you don't win the game, and then you always have this stop and go results that are good for you. So yeah. I think it's a high time. I actually said this in the beginning of the season. I said the team that will cause more threat to Mamelodi Sundowns, it's Orlando Pirates, because of the continuity they have with the players.
Yes.
They don't have too many new players, and they can continue with that because they were not the best side. But yet again, it's up to them this season. This season, they haven't showed us, besides the game against Kansas City, but they actually haven't showed us that this is a team that they can actually say, you know what, this can be the team that can compete for the league. But yet again, the league is a marathon. I think they just need to take each and every game as it comes.
I think what they have on their side as well, they have an exceptional assistant coach, which you did mention, Fadlu Davids. And I do believe him and Zimbao are on the same page. So I think that transition won't be too hectic as we sort of make it out to be. And I think we see a lot of teams without, who are just sort of have assistant coaches, or just maybe are just cone collectors, if you know what I mean. But, but Fadlu is certainly a hands-on
and
guy.
And whistleblowers.
Yeah, exactly. But Fadlu's, he's sort of hands-on. He knows what he's doing. I don't think that transition is going to be too crazy with him in charge.
Sean, I just hope that the players will see it that way.
Yeah.
I just hope that the players will respect him. That's all. Because at the end of the day, Zimbabwe can shout on the bench there for instructions. If players are taking those instructions, which means they're respecting the coach. And I think that should be the same for Davids today.
Yeah.
They should respect him and believe in him as much as they believe in Coach Zimbao. Because at the end of the day, like I said, the people that needs to do the jobs are them on the pitch. The coach are there to guide them. So, like you said, Davids has proven himself. He's a very, very good coach. And I think he just needs to continue where Orlando Pirates left off, so that, you know, he can actually remind people how good he is.
Sure. Absolutely. Right. Let's move on swiftly to This Week in History with Simon.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
So I just want to start this by saying I'm clearly not as good as Slew, because after much research and only towards the time when it was becoming too late, I realized that none of what I'm about to tell you happened this week in history, but last week. But I thought I'd tell you anyway. So, on the 24th of October, Sheffield FC, not to be confused with Sheffield United FC, but Sheffield FC, playing in the Northern Division League One East in England, marked their 163rd birthday. And I tell you this only to say that this makes them the oldest football club in existence that still plays football.
And did you know that I played the 10,000th game at Sheffield FC?
Wow.
Yeah. In 2001.
Oh, amazing.
You are old.
Sean. They celebrated this birthday milestone by losing to another stellar football club I'm sure you've never heard of, Kidsgrove Athletic.
Come on, the Grovers. No, I've never heard of them.
That was last week in football.
Simon, you are terrible, but thank you.
It's
thank
a pleasure, you. Sean.
Wow. Mm. Right. Righty, International News Desk. We are joined by our international correspondent, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. How are you, sir?
Good, thanks. How are you, Shawnee?
I'm very well, thanks.
Hi, Kurt.
So, Roma scores 100 goals for Madrid and Messi gets called difficult to manage. Kurt, what's happening?
Yeah, Paul. So, Ramos brought up a century of goals for Real Madrid. Only, I think he's one of 19 players to have achieved this milestone for Real Madrid, and only the second defender after Fernando Hierro. But we should mention that Hierro spent a large chunk of his Real Madrid career as a holding midfielder. But, you know, it's just a remarkable achievement for a defender. I mean, I don't know where you guys rank him among the best centre-backs of all time, but he has to be up there. I remember in 2005 when he joined Real Madrid for 30 million, it was seen as such a huge fee for a teenager, and they were just waiting for him to pay them back. And, you know, 15 years later, four UEFA Champions Leagues, five La Liga trophies, a whole lot more, a World Cup for Spain, two European Championships. You know, he has to be regarded as a modern-day great. I'm interested to hear where you guys consider, how do you consider him? How do you think of Ramos among the, you know, the Cannavaros, the Maldinis, the Baresis, etc., etc.?
Yeah, it's well put there. I think when you think of Real Madrid these days, you tend to think of Sergio Ramos as well. He's sort of part of the furniture, but to go ahead and score 100 goals, the central defender is like you say, is unheard of these days. You can sort of see Van Dijk sort of molding into that at Liverpool. He's, you know, he's going to get you 8 to 12 goals a season. But yeah, I mean, that is sensational. And it's amazing how consistent he has been over the years. And
incredible.
I think with consistency comes with, you know, when you look at the great players, you look at Ronaldo, you look at Messi, you look at Ramos, these guys haven't really had serious injuries. So it just shows you how...
I was going to say that now too, how important that's been, his fitness, maintaining that level. And I guess that's a credit to him and the work that he's put in, you know, off the field, the discipline to maintain.
Correct. I mean, Teko, what do you think? I mean, you don't play at that level, score 100 goals as a central defender if you're not truly spectacular or something special.
Ramos, I think is one of those defenders that you would hate to face. merely because of the competitiveness that he has. But I think also what's important is he understands where he is. He understands who he is as well. Sorry, man. He understands where he is. Sorry, guys. like, listen, playing for Real Madrid and captaining that side is huge on his own. And there's so much responsibility as well. And he's captaining the national team as well. So I think having that mentality of trying to be the best defender that you can be, and also what helps him as well is he's good on the ball. You know, he takes free kicks. He takes penalties as well. So he scores all these goals, and he's very, very important in Real Madrid side. So for me, and also seeing him on Instagram, the way he trains is amazing. And I think it's one of those things that I don't see often, especially with the younger ones that are just coming in, or the younger ones that are trying to be the best that they can be. Not that they should show it, but it's just that you can see most of them, they have so many injuries within the season. You know, like your Hazard. I was expecting Hazard when he gets there, you know, to be something else like he was at Chelsea, but he struggled with overweight. So those are small things that actually separates the greats from the good. And you can see Ramos wants to be the best that he can, and he's amongst the best defenders in the world. I'd never rated who's the guy, what's his name, the Italian boy?
Cannavaro.
Nah, not really. Yes, he was a good defender, but for me, is I look at the person in football terms, like, is he good in terms of helping us building up from the back? Is he the guy that can actually go back and also tackle the ball from the line and also go and score? So I think Ramos has all those things, but it's just that the problem is with his red cards. I think he wants to, I don't know who he wants to match with the red cards, but if he can scratch that, I think Ramos will be the guy that, you know, it will be spoken about him for the longest time.
Teko, did you not play against Ramos?
Yeah, I did, against Spain, I did. But if you remember as well, at that time, Spain had like maybe 80% to 90% of Barcelona players, so those were the dominant ones. So really, he was with Piqué, I think, playing a centre back. But I never actually had an opportunity to actually go there and actually maybe be 1v1 against him, because we had our own issues with Xavi, Iniesta, and Busquets in the midfield that we had to deal with.
Just a little issue.
That couldn't have given you too many issues, surely.
It did. And Fabregas was playing just in the pocket. I think it was one of the toughest games that I ever played. But also, I've learned a lot into how to manage space and how to, you know, make runs when necessary. Because those guys are not running at all. They were just making the ball move. And it's something that in South Africa we were not taught at that time.
Yeah.
From one grade to another, Messi gets called difficult to manage. What's all this about, Kurt?
Yeah, so Quique Setién, the former Barcelona manager who Ronald Koeman replaced just a couple of months ago, he came out in an interview and basically said that working with Messi was incredibly difficult because he was basically saying, who am I to change him when everybody's accepted him for the way he is and for so long? And it's just very interesting because it brings us back to our recent chat about Zlatan Ibrahimovic and players with personality. I mean, Messi, you know, we have to accept that for his quietness and his shyness is probably a bit of an and all the greats really are, you know, and some managers handle it. The really great managers handle it, like the Fergusons, the Guardiolas, but many, many managers will crumble. And learning to navigate a personality like Messi's, you know, that whole conversation, that whole topic really just fascinates me because these guys, Ronaldo, Messi, Zlatan, they know how good they are. I think it was always going to be difficult for Setién coming in without, you know, a big CV. When you walk into a dressing room like Barcelona's with big players, strong personalities, you have to be incredibly good to get everyone on your side. You have to be either a remarkable football brain like Guardiola was in 2008, or you have to have incredible man management, or you were a great player in your day and you command respect because of your name, like Zidane at Real Madrid. We don't associate him with, you know, a tactical genius, and nor do we associate him with being an incredible man manager, but it's Zinedine Zidane. And once upon a time, he was hailed among the greatest footballers of all time, and he still is. So it's very interesting. I think that, you know, people are surprised when you hear things like this about Messi, who's shy and very timid and probably an introvert. But, you know, to get where he is today, he had to assert himself over certain people. And I think so in the wake of the Setién comments, there was a story that came out saying that after one particular game last season, Messi in the dressing room in front of all of his teammates, in front of the coaching staff, told Setién to respect the players who've won more than him. Obviously, that rubbed Setién the wrong way. Apparently, he then told Messi, well, if you don't like what I have to say, you know where the door is.
But now, can you imagine, and I think this separates the good managers to the great managers, can you imagine someone turning around to Sir Alex Ferguson and saying that? Do you know what I mean? That's the sort of difference.
We know exactly what happened to those players. Yeah, they're all shown the door.
I don't know if you've seen the Roy Keane and his sort of estranged relationship with Alex Ferguson and... But they had a mutual respect.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And for Alex Ferguson to manage a Ronaldo, to manage a Roy Keane, these massive personalities in the biggest club in the world back then, and probably still isn't in a way, it comes down. And basically, I think it was Setién's time was up, I would have imagined.
Yeah. Well, no, 100%. But also, so in that same interview, he did liken Messi's, attitude, persona to Michael Jordan's. I don't know if you guys watched The Last Dance, that documentary. And he said that, you know, there are certain things you see that surprise you and that you might not like. So it was just, very, very interesting. And he said one thing that really, like, stood out to me was he said that Messi doesn't talk much, but he makes it known how he's feeling. And he will show you certain things with his body language. And I just remember seeing so many times last season when Barcelona were playing and Setién would make a change, like bringing Brathwaite on, who, you know, used to play for Middlesbrough in the Premier League, bringing a player on who Messi clearly does not rate and who Messi clearly does not want to play with. And you can see Messi's whole personality, his whole body language just shuts off.
It's an interesting one, and I'll also ask Teko this and about the Last Dance as well, is that these great players, they don't really care if they liked or not. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like it's their last, and I think that's probably where I went wrong a bit in my career, is that I cared too much. I cared what people thought. I cared about making mistakes. I cared about failure. And these guys, it doesn't even cross their mind what people think about them because they just know that they're that good. Hey, Teko, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I started like that. I started caring a lot and trying to, you know, carry myself in a different way, and I ended up losing myself. Mm. But then I realized that, you know what, this is too exhausting, and I don't have time for this. Let me go back and be myself. And then that's when the haters started coming in. But the thing is, I could justify it on the pitch. Mm. And for me as well, it was never the guy that actually liked speaking too much. But you hear me on the pitch. When I'm on the pitch, I'm very vocal, especially when I win the ball. And sometimes other guys will find it very intimidating that I always call the ball. Mm-hmm. But because of I know what to do with the ball, so what must I do? But then again, it comes back to what you just said. I think when you have a certain mentality, especially as a footballer or as a sports person, your drive, I think it's bigger than anything else. You don't care who's next to you. And with a sports like this, where you also rely on other people, when other people are not maybe on your level, you get pissed off. And I could see Messi was doing that. You get pissed off because other people, they're not on their level. And as a footballer, you want to win. And you know that by winning, you have to have good players around you. And with the team just signing whoever that's available, it you off. Because I always say I remember saying something like this to other guys. I said, I wish I was at Orlando Pirates, this Orlando Pirates team right now. I could have won everything with Orlando Pirates. Mm. Not necessarily because maybe they are good, but there's more good players right now than the ones that I played with.
Yeah.
Because most of the time when I was playing, I was very frustrated. I was enjoying the national team because you're playing with quality, and then come back into the game, come back into a local game, you find a person that can't even pass you the ball 5 meters. So it becomes a problem. You become so irritated, and when people look from outside, they look like you're arrogant, you don't care. But it's just that the frustrations always build up because of, you ask yourself, how did this person get this contract in the first place? I had to work my ass off to get here. How did he get here? You know, and I think also what they said about Messi as well is something for me that I've always felt. It's something for me that I've always seen, and it's not like I've seen it maybe in the media or something like that. But I knew that Messi wouldn't be this great by being just a nice guy.
Yeah.
If he likes you, he likes you. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And because he brings stuff to the team, he wins trophies to the team, and he's the greatest of all time. And for me is, I'll see. Do you remember also when Griezmann got to the team? He wasn't even passing Griezmann. Like, he would prefer to give Suarez, even though he knew that Suarez was going to miss control, but he wouldn't, because sometimes you need to believe in your players. You need to believe in the teammates that you have, and Messi didn't have that trust and belief. And sometimes with the coaches as well, they struggle to maintain, to be in charge of the dressing room. And once they're not in charge of the dressing room, they're looking to find scapegoats. Yeah. And Messi being the case, being the star of the team, being the person, and your peakers and all that stuff. So sometimes it helps to let them buy into your ideas, and then you can start making all those changes that you want to make. You can't just come in and like Curtis said, you haven't won anything. You're just somebody that has a coaching certificate. Then you want to change everything at a go.
Yeah.
We need to respect you first as players. And if you're showing us respect back, trust me, anything that you say will go. Not that Guardiola, when he got there, he commanded like, hey guys, you need to do this. He needed to sell them the ideas. He went to the big players, your Xavi, your Iniesta. He sold them the ideas. And I think with his coaches nowadays, that's why there's so few of greats. The rest of them, they're struggling to be in the same dressing room as people with personalities. And I think it's something that will still continue and go on for the longest time.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I just want to jump on that quickly, Sean. Like what Teko was talking about, how Griezmann, for example, doesn't have the best relationship with Messi on the field. And we see the same thing with players. What we're talking about here with managers like Setien crumbling working with Messi, you know, he doesn't know how to navigate a personality like Messi. He's never worked with somebody like that before. Mm-hmm. And he probably gives him too much respect. He doesn't assert himself. Like Koeman came in, the best thing Koeman could have done, which he did done. I know things aren't going great, but Koeman said Messi won't have the privileges that he's had for the last 5-6 years. Mm. And apparently what we've read is that Messi likes Koeman and they're getting along like a house on fire. And you see certain players fall to that pressure too, like Griezmann, like Coutinho, who, you know, these guys are big players. They've come in as big names, and as soon as they are alongside a star like Messi, they fail to shine, which is what both of those guys have failed to do at Barcelona. So it's just very interesting how there's definitely parallels between managers and players working with personalities like that. I mean, Teko, I'm sure at some point in your career, you also experienced players alongside you who were considered big players who just ended up flopping next to you, or they didn't know how to be alongside you because of your, you know, your personality and how good you were considered in the country as a player, and they don't know how to shine themselves alongside a player like you.
Exactly, and you know how frustrating that is, because as a player that is good in the team, when you see other players being brought into the team that are equally good, you get excited because if you know that the team is going to get stronger. You know, you also know that the responsibilities are going to be shared across the board. Mm. But then when those guys started playing, you're like, okay, what's happening here? So you're trying to find excuses for them. Mm. Because I've always believed that not everybody can play in the big team.
Yeah.
Not everybody can play in, no, not every player can be a Bafana Bafana player or national team player. And I found, especially at Sundowns, I'll see players, Sundowns will buy players from everywhere. They'll get into the team. They'll never even make the first 18. You'll be surprised. You'll be like, this guy was actually good last season when you played against him. What's happening? But because some other guys, you know, they don't have the strong character. They don't have the drive and the will or to work as hard. Because sometimes when you play against players that are equally good or better, you need to work harder.
Yeah.
And other guys they don't have that in them to work
That's
harder.
The real test. Yeah. Is standing out among great players. It's easy to be like a big fish in a small pond, but you know.
Coach Kurt yeah, Buckerfield.
I'm telling you, I'm gonna go for my UEFA licenses, bro.
Please do, bro. Kurt, I'm gonna be kind. Thank you very much.
So cool, bro.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Cody. Right, Teko, I've got you all to myself. Let's talk about what's happening at Sundowns. Cyrino to Al Ahly, they are hunting him badly, and then all of a sudden now, what's happened? Sundowns have put an offer in to two of their star players, one for 50 million rand and one for 35 million rand. How true that is, I don't know, but can you see Cyrino go to Al Ahly? Think it's going to happen? And put it this way: can Sundowns afford to lose him? Because we know Al Ahly can afford him.
Yes, and Sundowns can afford to keep him as well.
That's what I'm saying. So can they afford to lose him?
No, I don't think it will be a wise business move. Mm. I mean, honestly, by Peter leaving the way that he did, and now you want to lose a player like Serenius caliber, it becomes a problem. It disturbs the team.
Yeah,
because I've been watching Mamelodi Sundowns all the time, and I've seen how instrumental Cyrino is.
Yeah, so what does Cyrino bring to Sundowns?
I mean, what he brings is that confidence, because the guy plays the same way, on form, off form.
Yeah.
He does the same things, and that also gives room for the Temba Zwanes, the Mkhulisis to actually believe and shine as well, because he brings that into the team. And to lose a player like that, you need to have a replacement ready to play. And I don't think they do have, because even now, the responsibility is still more on Temba Zwane to be more creative. And of course, with the Shadow Lilies and the Kemets, those are goal scorers. But the people that are responsible to be creative as Temba Zwane, especially when Serena's not playing, but when Serena's playing, you can tell the combination between the two, and Vida still injured.
Mm.
I don't think they do have a replacement that is ready to play. Yes, they do have good players, your Maluletas, the Seri Kapingas, there's so many players, but they don't have the same qualities as Serena does.
Mm.
Serena, in big games, he shows up. Every
sure,
time,
sure.
Every single time he shows up, and you need those type of players to have in your team, because they bring the confidence within the team. I think if they decide to let him go, he should be playing at least one more season. Because I'll tell you why. Because these coaches are under pressure to win something, to continue, you know, with the dominance that Peter had, and they need to prove that by winning trophies this season.
Yeah.
And as we all know, they're not gonna have a treble.
Yeah.
But they do have an opportunity to win others. So now, for them, by not winning any trophy or winning the league this season, it's a failure.
Sure.
So now what you're trying to do is keep the best players that you can have within the team. Once you've won that, then you can start making all your own changes because now you're in charge. But I don't think it's a good idea to let Serena go at this moment.
No, I do agree. But what is rest assured, the Sundowns fan, what's quite nice is I see they're playing Maluleke a bit further up than they did at Chiefs. I know Chiefs played him sort of as a six, but they're playing Georgie a bit further up, which is nice to see because I've always said he's the sort of, he should be getting at least 8 to 10 goals a season.
Yeah. Look, with Andile Jali there, it wouldn't be wise to play George deeper.
Sure.
Because the ground that Andile likes to cover, and that's his strength, it will take his talent away if he plays up further because now the requirements will be different.
Yeah.
And George being the player that started playing there, so his qualities will actually show up. So I think it was a wise decision. And you can see also in George getting maybe enough game time, he will actually become, the best version of himself, especially this season, surrounded by equally quality players. And I think it's a right move. But also it might happen in other games when they don't have the players to play them there, he might play there. Mm-hmm. But also with his experience, I think he will be able to adjust. And what's nice about it is, when you're playing for such teams, you're forever having the ball. So you don't defend much.
Sure.
And I think even if they do deploy him in that position, I don't think he'll struggle. I don't think he'll cover enough ground. But yet again, I think if for me is seeing George up the field there creating and trying to score goals, I think that's George Maluleke that we all know.
Yeah.
And
that's where he belongs. He belongs there. Let's just stay with Al Ahly for a bit, and there has been serious interest in Nurkovic as well. And he's obviously nursing quite a serious injury. He's only gonna be back in December. Can Chiefs afford to leave Nurkovic?
Chiefs cannot even afford to lose a kid minute. They can't afford to lose anybody right now.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. I mean, look, Nurkovic, I'm sure, is as disappointed, especially after what he has done for the team, for himself, with the first season. I think everybody that played that associated with Kaizer Chiefs, they felt the pain.
Yeah.
But yet again, is let him play again. Once you have an opportunity to sign players, of course, at the end of the day, football is business. Yeah. Whether we like it or not, at some point, he will go.
Yeah.
Not knowing where, but he will go. But the thing is, like, Chiefs have been struggling to find the right striker after Musona, and now they finally did. I think they need to do the best that they can to keep him.
Sure.
And I also like what the PSL is doing, or what the PSL, what's happening with the PSL right now. Most Egyptian teams are interested in our players, in players that are playing in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the Mango, there's a rumor as well. So I like the fact that we're starting now to get recognition, not only because we have the best league, but also the players that are playing in our PSL, they're starting to get recognition. And I think that's a good thing. It's only a matter of time that we get maybe better recognition in Europe. I think that's where we should be striving for. But with the Egyptians coming through, that's a stepping stone. If young players have been given a chance to go there, especially if you actually want, because, I mean, playing Champions League, guys, is big.
Yeah.
And most of those teams are playing Champions League every season. And yet, like we spoke about it in one of the podcasts, we said it's important as a player to win trophies.
Sure.
And there you guarantee that those teams that you're going to win trophies.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't advise big teams in South Africa, teams that can actually afford to keep their players, to let them go.
No.
If they don't want to be dominated by Mamelodi Sundowns, make sure that you secure your players, keep them there so that you can fight for dominance, fight for those trophies that Mamelodi Sundowns has been winning.
Yeah, I mean, it's about time that we're getting some sort of recognition in the PSL, which is great.
Yeah.
But just to stay on Chiefs for a little bit, so Fiso Clancy now signed at Swallows. Because we spoke about that last podcast. So I'm still confused. Has he actually signed for Chiefs, but he's being loaned out to Swallows now? What's going on?
Sean, they'll never come out and say it because they know they'll probably maybe be in trouble for that because they were not supposed to sign players in the beginning. But they do have relationships with other teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that's the route that they took. like, listen, Solis, here's our guy. Can you sign him? Can you sign him for a season? Then he'll come and take him back. Because they said can't sign for Solis. They never said for how long.
Sure.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And Nangi, I think he went to Stelis. They never said for how long.
Right.
So I think those are just relationship things that went through for that, keep this boy so that he can have game time. And then when we're good, we'll come and fetch him. I think it's, it, I mean, Kaizer Chiefs is a big team. They do have relationships everywhere. This thing that they can do, it's unfortunate that it's happening to them. But I think they shouldn't stop only from Planty and Nangi. Especially, they need to know exactly the kind of players that they need for next season. They need to start making those moves right now. And having those conversations with those agents, having those conversations with those teams, because at the end of the day, this ban will be done. You don't want to be in a position where you start looking around, every player's got 3-year contract somewhere. We know that Kaizer Chiefs sometimes they don't want to spend. So I think they need to start doing those businesses right now to secure next season's future, because this season will be one of those toughest seasons that they should have, because what they have within their disposal. But I think next season should be a season for them, and they need to start preparing now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let's move on to Car of the Week. Ba-ba-boom. This week we have Thabo Rekhale has been spotted with his BMW M135. This is the hottest one series. The BMW 135 is an M-performance automobile. Although it may not quite say so, this is a true M car. You can feel the magic is there. It's not quite as hard-edged as the brilliant old 1 Series M Coupe, but it's close, and it's 200,000 Rand cheaper. Given how it's a thoroughly modern car to boot, it's a real bargain, particularly considering the way it drives. I'm not a massive BMW fan, but this is one sexy car, an 8.5 out of 10 for me. 8 out of 5, jeez. Have another drink.
My words are spinning. Does Thabo Rekhale have a team?
No, still teamless. Good player, eh?
Yeah, but also Sean, it shows you something in South African football lately, what's happening. Irrespective of how good you are, it's now the question is, who can afford you?
Right. And are you prepared to take a pay cut?
Are you prepared? Because I'll tell you a story, just a little bit. Sorry, Sean.
No, it's all about you, bro.
I took a risk from Mamelodi Sundowns to Cape Town City. I knew exactly what I was going to get there. Yeah. It was not even half.
Yeah.
But I went there because I wanted to enjoy football again. I wanted to play regularly again. I didn't want to retire being mad like other guys that I know. But I wanted to enjoy the game again. And sometimes I've seen other players doing it to make it big. Maybe not the same case as mine. I've seen Hlompho kind of from SuperSport, after winning so many trophies, going to Celtics, coming back to Sundowns. And then now, Hlompho kind of is a different story. You know what I'm saying? I've seen George Maluleka to SuperSport, Ajax, traveling around to Kaizer Chiefs, now to Mamelodi Sundowns. I'm just trying to make a point that with these players, they need to understand that sometimes where you want to go, the road might not be that straight.
Sure.
You know, make a smart decision. Go somewhere and play for a season. Make sure that there where you are, play the best that you can so that you can go where you want to go. Because sometimes players believe that they can go from cheaper to Chiefs or cheaper to Pirates. Not everybody can.
Yeah.
But exactly. I think with Rekhale's quality, he should be having a team now. But that it shows you again where South African football is. If you're that talented, but they can't afford you, don't rather go for an MBC player that they might groom that will play in the team for the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's interesting. It makes me think of Cole Alexander's story as well. I mean, when he was sort of outed by Ajax, he took two steps back. Forward. He went to Polokwane, remember?
Yeah.
And was phenomenal, and then got a good contract with SuperSports, and then Wits, and now look at him. So, yeah, exactly.
A lot of good players. Even Kemet Erasmus, for instance. Pirates went overseas, came back. He could have went anywhere else. He went to Cape Town City. You know why? Because he wanted game time.
Yeah.
He got game time in Cape Town City. Now is at Sundance now.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make a point, that the same point that you're making, that players need to understand that, you know, sometimes to go forward, that one step back might be the right step that you actually can do for yourself.
Correct. And I think good management as well of these guys needs to be pinpointed here. And I hope Rekhale's got a good manager that's looking after his best interests.
I doubt. If he had one, he would be having a team right now.
Good point. Good point.
Yo, Chief, we never spoke about the predictions over the weekend.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was going to say, there's another derby coming, yo.
There's another derby, Chief.
Sorry, jeez, yeah. Apologies.
Arguably far more important than anything happening today.
Another derby. How rude of me. This time at home for Chiefs. Well, there's not really much of a difference, is there? But sure, okay.
Do you see Kansas Chiefs scoring four?
What's that?
Do you see Kansas Chiefs scoring four?
I don't. Do you?
If Nogovic was here, I would say yes.
But it's not about that. It's also, do you see them not conceding? I mean, they might score four, but I still think they're going to concede.
Look, I don't see Orlando Pirates dominating the game because Chiefs scores one, the game changes.
Yeah.
And, but I see Chiefs winning the game, but not going through.
Yeah, I agree. If they can, it's a good way of putting it. I think Gavin really needs to now sort out the defense. If they get that right, if they keep a clean sheet, Chiefs can easily win 2-3-0, but I don't think they're going to go through.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to go.
Super Sport Bloom Celtic is 1-1 first round. Where did they play? I think they played in Pretoria, hey?
Yeah, they played in Pretoria.
Yo, I'm gonna stick with you. I'm gonna go with a Bloom Celtic upset.
Aha, so well,
do you agree?
Yeah, but the thing is, honestly, I'm just jealous of SuperSport playing the finals of this tournament year after year. Yeah, you guys.
Cup specialists, eh?
No. Celtics must win, just for football's sake.
Celtics Pirates final. That's what we're going for.
Yeah.
And Celtics to take it.
And then an upset in the final. Yeah.
Okay. You heard it here first time in the car wash. We finish off with a motivational quote of the week by SuperSports United's new signing, Lucky Mahomi. He says, "Confidence makes everyone's opinion irrelevant." I like that.
It's kind of what we spoke about.
Yeah.
Seko, you've been average as usual. Thank you very much, Simon. You're beautiful.
Placir.
Thank you very much, guys. Whether you've been listening to us on Soccer Laduma, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you very much for listening. That has been Sean Roberts.
Thank you, sir.
And that has been Teko Modise.
Thank you.
And I've been your host, Simon Strela. We'll see you same time next week.
Peace.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. This is a Hlangana Khona.